Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. April is National Poetry Month, and today we celebrate with two poetry projects. Later in the hour, Justin Aaron will talk about his new collection of poems and an album inspired by a piano and refugees living in a Greek refugee camp. First, poets Alice Kachimba, founding director of Calliope Poetry, and Rich Omens join us to talk about their efforts as collaborating editors, right, of a new project. And this is a Cape and Islands anthology. Who wants to tell me a little bit more about it? Russ, you want to tell me about this?
Sure. I'll start a little bit. First off, there's three editors. There's Alice, myself, and also Robin Smith Johnson. She's the third person in our group. She's done actually a few books on the Cape and an excellent poet herself. So the anthology, what we're trying to do is the subtitle is Exploring the Cape and the Islands, and that's the purpose of it. I think when people think of Cape Cod, there's usually a lot of typical associations of people coming down for vacations. You know, the surf, the beach, whales, you know, all the usual things that you think of when it comes to the Cape. And we'd like to explore, you know, that will be included, but we want to go deeper than that. We want to include historical poems, historical moments, to look at some of the people who have been associated with the Cape, Catherine Lee Bates here in Falmouth, Edward Hopper, famous painter, so many painters that have been associated with the Cape, writers, historical figures, some of the industries, cranberry harvesting, glass, you know, the glass industry that was so core to Sandwich. So we're trying to dig a little bit deeper and really present the Cape in various facets.
And across time zones? I mean, is this
From the beginning? The origins of the Cape up to today.
That's a lot of work to go through, isn't it? Yeah. So do you already have some ideas, Alice, of poets that you'd like to include? I mean, yes. When you started, you went, okay, we know we have to have X, Y, and Z, right?
Well, now who comes to mind but Mary Oliver?
I was going to say Mary Oliver, yeah.
And Brendan Galvin has given us permission to publish five of his poems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll reach out to Mark Doty. And, of course, Stanley Kunitz.
Oh, yeah.
How could you do without Route 6?
Right, exactly. Would you want to read the poem you brought for Mary Oliver?
We'll start,
give people a little taste of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and this is actually an older poem that some people might not be familiar with. It was published in her book Dreamwork in 1986. Coming home. When we're driving in the dark on the long road to Provincetown, which lies empty for miles, when we're weary, when the buildings and the scrub pines lose their familiar look, I imagine us rising from the speeding car. I imagine us seeing everything from another place, the top of one of the pale dunes, or the deep and nameless fields of the sea. And what we see is the world that cannot cherish us, but which we cherish. And what we see is our life, moving like that, along the dark edges of everything, the headlights like lanterns sweeping the blackness, believing in a thousand fragile and unprovable things, looking out for sorrow, slowing down for happiness, making all the right turns right down to the thumping barriers to the sea, the swirling waves, the narrow streets, the houses, the past, the future, the doorway that belongs to you and me.
Now, when you have a Mary Oliver, somebody like that with so many great poems, how are you deciding what to use in the book? And are you having, you know, some input into that?
Well, you know, Rich and Robin and I meet and discuss how we want to frame it. And, you know, most of Mary Oliver's work is set on the Outer Cape. And this particular poem, one of the things I like about it, similar to Route 6, it's really about that feeling of when you drive the whole distance and you get closer, and that feeling of home, which, whether you come here just for a season or for a lifetime, I think there is something about driving the whole distance of the Cape and seeing, you know, what is finally that place called home.
Oh. All right, Russ. Well, Alice got to read a poem. Well, you should only have to read a poem now, too, right?
So I'd be happy to.
Yeah, what are you going to read?
I'm going to read one by Brendan Galvin. Brendan, well-known poet, lives out in the Truro area. And he's one of the ones where he's written so much about the Cape. And this one is called Pitch Pines. Some trees loft their heads like symmetrical green bells, but these, blown one-sided by winds salted out of the northeast, seem twisted from the germ. Not one will lean the same way as another. Knotted but soft, they mingle ragged branches and rot to punkwood, limbs flaking and dying to ribs, to antlers and spidery twigs, scaly plates slipping off the trunks. Hanging on, oaks rattle maroon clusters against winter. But these, resinous in flues, blamed for a history of cellar holes, snap in the cold and fall to shapes like dragons asleep, or thin out by dropping sour needles on acid soil. For 1 week in May, they pollinate windows, a shower that curdles water to golden scum. From Bartholomew Gosnold's deck, Brereton saw this cape timbered to its shores with the hardwoods that fell to keels and ribbing, to single meeting house beams as long as eight men. Stands of swamp cedar, cleared for cranberries, were split to shakes or cut lengthwise for foundations, while sheep cropped elm and cherry sprouts and plows broke the clean-cut fields. 50 cords at a time, birch and maple melted bog iron in pits. Elm and beech boiled the Atlantic to its salts. Red oak fired the glassworks at Sandwich, till the desert floundered out of the backlands and knocked on the rear doors of towns, and this peninsula drifted in brushfire haze. And, clenching their cones under crown fires, the grandfathers of these pines held on until heat popped their seeds to the charred ground. Mm.
So you have quite this job in front of you, selecting all these poems. And how many submissions have you had so far?
So far, as of today, about 385.
385. And so this book is coming out in 2020, next year. Mm-hmm. You're still collecting submissions until,
yes,
what, June 30th, is it?
Yes, June 30th is when we close. And we're trying to, you know, really spread the word. It's been on the Mass Poetry website. We took out ads in Poets and Writers and the Writers Chronicle for a national. And we've been getting very interesting submissions from people that you wouldn't associate with Cape Cod, which is part of the fun, is those surprises. But, you know, the submission period's still open, and certainly, you know, in terms of your listening or audience, especially, we would like to have poems that really celebrate the origins of the Cape, the diversity in terms of its population. We really want to talk with the Mashpee Tribal Office to see if we could even get some poems in the Wampanoag language.
Oh,
and,
great.
And really try to say, okay, you know, it's not just the European settlers. It's the whole story of the Cape. Mm. And we've also gotten some poems that really are challenging us to think about how to preserve the beauty here, whether it's from natural disasters and storms and erosion, and you know, the impact of climate change on the fishing industry. So we really want to say what is precious about the Cape and how to preserve it.
Yeah. And what are the parameters for folks who might want to make a submission? Anything goes? It just has to have some sort of Cape connection? Is that it?
Has to have a Cape connection. It has to say specifically where it's set on the Cape, either within the poem or simply as an epigraph. Mm-hmm. But it has to be something where hopefully, because there's so many things about the Cape that are shared by other coastal areas, but there's also something so indigenous to Cape Cod, and that's what we'd like to get. So something that when you read it, sometimes you think that has to be on Cape Cod.
No. And also it really needs to say something more than a generic Cape Cod, as though, you know, if you think about the Upper Cape and its feeling is very different than the
Outer
Cape.
Absolutely, yeah. I think all 15 towns have a different feeling. Yeah. So, and this is a collaboration with Bass River Press and the Cape Cod Cultural Center, Calliope Poetry. So how did that come about?
Well, we approached Lauren Wolk, the associate director of the Cultural Center, and it was sort of an opportune moment because Rich has done a book like this based on the Jersey Shore. So he had the experience, and we thought, you know, Bass River Press really has celebrated the work of one single local poet. And we basically said, what about celebrating the region? Mm-hmm. And rather than residents of living on the Cape, let's look at how we can really celebrate the region. And she was thrilled to say that this is the right time for Bass River Press to do a regional anthology.
Yeah. Now, you talked about Mary Oliver's poem, Coming Home, and talking about that feeling of home as you're driving down Route 6. You have a poem of the opposite end of the Cape, the Bourne Bridge. And I was just thinking, as she was saying that, I was like, and everybody who comes over one of those bridges thinks, especially come over that Bourne Bridge and you see Cape Cod. Yeah. It's, and you, people talk about that. As soon as they hit that bridge, there's this kind of feeling that overcomes them. So will you read your poem,
Bourne Bridge? Oh, I'd be delighted to. And to be in the same company as Mary Oliver is a little awe-inspiring. But here it is. And Bourne Bridge. Not the hard rain the rivers crave, not the downpour to quench the forest floor, just a light mist on almost empty roads, as I'm entombed in gray, the only sound an intermittent shush, wipers clearing windshield. This quiet is pleasing, a monochromatic alone, when suddenly the overcast lightens from charcoal to dove, then splits into strands of mauve, salmon, rose, and the bridge ahead, luminous, wrapped in a pale blue shawl. Each raindrop clings, glistening in pure light that's always there, even when hidden. I've come home. Mm.
Lovely. Rich, you have a poem that will also be in the anthology as well, right?
I do. Yeah. I do.
Will you read that for
sure.
us?
Sure. You had asked before, the span of what the anthology is covering. So this poem actually goes back to the very formation of the Cape. And the starting point is Doan Rock, which has an epigraph. It's a glacial erratic in Easton, Massachusetts, and the largest exposed boulder on Cape Cod. Taller than three men, its granite face all lumps and ridges, folds and furrows, as if formed by a hand that once held the sun. Shadowed by pitch pine and oak, sunk deep as an eye tooth into the sandy soil, into layers of gneiss and gabbro and diorite. Debris of an ice sheet that pushed and scoured and tugged this terrain into a spit that now arcs like a shaking fist. Think of it. 19,000 years ago, the Laurentide creaked and cracked southward, carrying a cargo of boulders from Canada and the Gulf of Maine, then retreated, leaving nothing but upheaval. Moraines and their erratic mounds, outwashed plains braided by meltwater, ice chunks sunk into the soil like depth charges, and half-buried boulders shouldering into sunlight. Like this one, which inhabits space so thoroughly that everything moves around it, slows to a glacial pace. I reach out to touch its coarse face, its topography of lichen, its moist hollows. I press my palm into its ancient ruts, and for a moment am in a time when ice cleaved the earth, when sun splintering white filled the eye and sang as if in chains.
Mm. Rich, I want to ask you something about something else I know that's sort of near and dear to your heart. Will this include haikus as well, this book, or no?
If we get some great haiku, we're open to all forms. So.
Yeah. Haiku is harder than you think. I can't even imagine writing. But, it's so – you would think they would be easy, but I don't think so.
Not the good ones.
The first time I saw one, I thought, this will be a snap.
Yeah.
30 years later, I'm finally getting around to –
So would you like to read one more, each of you, from the anthology?
Sure. Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to say is, you can also think out of the box. Mm-hmm. Think food. Brendan Galvin has a wonderful poem called Kale Soup, which of course then starts to celebrate the ethnic heritage of the Cape. But this one is from a poet, Barbara Crooker, from Pennsylvania, who sent this off, and its title is Eating Meltaways in Harwichport. It's been 4 years since my father died, and it seems like I'm becoming him, driving my mother to the sandy spit where we vacation with their friends of 30 years, go to thrift shops and lobster roll lunches at the White Congregational Church, admire the blue hydrangeas bobbing along the picket fence. This year, death's been busy as a surfcaster on a moon-filled night, blues and stripers running wild, reeling them in one after another. Dottie talking on the phone, Merrick dozing in his recliner, Cancer's heavy weather taking Jean and Claire, and only Mom and I remain. We're sitting at our favorite restaurant, stirring sugar in iced tea, hearing the little cubes tinkle like wind chimes. I want to skip the next chapter and stay here like this. Life rolling on predictably as morning fog or thick milky chowder, the sun a pat of butter melting through. Our waitress in a white apron and pink uniform, her name scrawled on her left breast, waits with a pad of paper. The meltaways just came out of the oven, she says. Can you smell them? I can put them in a box if you don't have room for now. Mm. And that's set in Harwich Port at the Bonad's Bakery.
Oh, so nice. That's cool, yeah. Rich, you going to be one too?
Yeah, I think I mentioned Mark Doty before. Mm-hmm. And Mark has used to live up in Provincetown. He's written wonderful poems about the Cape, especially a few about the AIDS crisis when he was there. Mm-hmm. But this is called Long Point Light. Like I said, we're looking for things that are quintessentially Cape and some of the landmarks of the Cape. So,
is it also the islands too, or is it just the Cape?
And the islands too, okay. And Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. So Long Point Light. Long Point's apparitional this warm spring morning, the strand a blur of sandy light, and the square white of the lighthouse, separated from us by the bay's ultramarine, as if it were nowhere we could ever go, gleams like a tower's ghost, hazing into the rinsed blue of March, our last outpost in the huge indetermination of sea. It seems cheerful enough in the strengthening sunlight, fixed point accompanying our walk along the shore. Sometimes I think it's the where we will be, only not yet, like some visible outcropping of the afterlife. In the dark, its deeper invitations emerge. Green witness at night's end, flickering margin of horizon, marker of safety and limit, but limitless the way it calls us and where it seems to want us to come. And so I invite it into the poem to speak, and the lighthouse says, here is the world you asked for, gorgeous and opportune. Here is 9 o'clock, harbor wide, and a glinting code, promise and warning. The morning's the size of heaven. What will you do with it?
And this is, again, we're saying coming out in 2020, mm-hmm. So still time for those poets who would like to have their work considered. And you're limitless, right? How many you'll accept? And
we ask people to submit five of their best,
okay.
And they can be previously published of any style, any length, and all the information is on the Cultural Center of Cape Cod under the Bass River Press, mm-hmm. all the submission guidelines, and it will then direct you to a special email address, and then we'll review and get back to people.
Yeah. And we'll put a link on our website to submission so people make it easier for them at capeandislands.org. Alice Kachimba, founding director of Calliope Poetry, and Rich Omens, both editors in this collaboration along with Robin Smith Johnson. And so we appreciate you letting us know and look forward to, I hope you'll let us know when the book comes out. And it is the From the Farther Shore, Discovering Cape Cod and the Islands Through Poetry. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up after break, the poetry and music of Justin Aaron, Martha's Vineyard Poet Laureate.